Hello, everybody. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending when and where in the world you are. I am Cal Banyan. It's another podcast. This time we're talking about hypnosis for overcoming OCD symptoms and bad habits using 5-PATH and other advanced hypnotherapy techniques. Who am I? Cal Banyan. I'm an author, writer, speaker, and hypnotherapist. I'm the developer of the 5-PATH hypnotherapy system and 5-PATH self-hypnosis. Before we get started, let me make a couple announcements here. First of all, for more information about hypnosis, scripts, books, CDs, video programs, hypnosis sessions, and so on, including live classes, go to our other websites. First of all, there's www.calbanyan.com. That's my blog. That's the home of these podcasts. Come back regularly to that website and find out what we've been doing lately. Also, there's www.hypnosiscenter.com. That's for information about our center and all of my classes, ranging from the NGH-approved hypnotherapy certification courses to the Week of Power courses to build advanced techniques and hypnotherapist confidence. And finally, www.banyanhypnosismall for all kinds of hypnosis information, products, and training materials brought to you by the leaders in the field of hypnosis. All right, some news. Of course, we've got ongoing NGH certification courses at our center. We've got them going on every few months. Our next one is in March of 2007. And, we've got one coming up. Depending on when you're listening to this podcast, we've just completed one November 6th of 2006 here at our Banyan Hypnosis Center. We've got one coming up in December, December 4th in Singapore, if you happen to be in the Asia Pacific area. And then, of course, our next NGH certification course is in March. It starts on the 5th of March of 2007 here at our center. Check www.hypnosiscenter.com for details. And for those of you outside of the United States, here we spell center C-E-N-T-E-R. So it's hypnosiscenter.com. Our newest Meet the Pros program was Del Hunter Morrill, who gave us a seminar on how to write great hypnosis scripts. I encourage everyone to go take advantage of some of those free hypnosis training seminars on a wide area of topics on our Hypnosis Mall. Also on the BanyanHypnosisMall.com, there's plenty of free articles. There's our new e-zine, which is published quarterly. Okay, all that stuff's out of the way. Let me talk once more about podcast number 16, Hypnosis for Overcoming OCD Symptoms and Bad Habits Using 5-PATH. Well, if you've been following the podcast lately, you know that the theme I've been going through is going to our hypnosis groups that we moderate and maintain on Yahoo Groups. We have several of them. We have our exclusive email group for 5-PATHers. There's about 500 members on that group. And then we have some other larger groups that are open to everyone who's interested in hypnosis. For example, Talk About Hypnosis. And another one is Marketing Hypnosis. And another one, for example, is Speedy Inductions. All of those are available on yahoogroups.com. You can get a link to those groups by going to hypnosiscenter.com, click on the free stuff area, and then join our groups. And it doesn't cost you anything. You can subscribe or unsubscribe at any time, but you're going to find just tons of really valuable information there on those groups. So, in my desire to keep bringing you guys topics that would be of interest to you, I'm going through those different groups and finding out what some of the latest questions are that I think are a little, maybe a little bit complicated and hard to answer just through email. So I'm taking the time to reduce those emails down to a paragraph or two and using them here in the podcast. So here's a question. I'll read it and then I will go through some of the major points I want you to remember when dealing with like OCD symptoms and bad habits using hypnosis, five-path advanced hypnosis techniques. And then I will return to the question and apply those points to the question. All right, here's the question. I'm ready to do a third session for hair pulling with a client who had a lot of difficulty with the AR session. She seems to have a lot of difficulty seeing and feeling anything during the AR, which means age regression. I tried parts therapy on him. I can't tell if this is a man or woman. The way I reduced this and summarized this question, I got my hims and hers mixed up, so please forgive me. It says, I tried parts hypnotherapy on her, and she said that both parts had come to an agreement on what to do rather than pulling her hair. And now the habit has been reduced quite a bit, but she is still pulling her hair. Any suggestions on what I should do next? Okay, this is a very good five-path question, and also for an OCD. This is something that might be diagnosed as trichotillomania. I've worked with that many times, and we can have fabulous results doing five-path. Now, number one, obsessive compulsive disorders are psychological or psychiatric diagnoses. So if they come in with OCD or trichotillomania or some kind of mania or any kind of psychological or psychiatric diagnosis, you need a referral if your client is carrying one of those diagnoses, unless you yourself are a psychologist, psychiatrist, someone licensed to work with those diagnoses. But be aware that this is not true when the client self-diagnoses. A lot of times a client will come in and says, oh, I have this obsession, or I have this compulsion, or I have this phobia. Ask, gosh, did you ever see a psychologist, psychiatrist about it? If they say no, then it's not a mental illness. It's just something people in our common day vernacular, we use words like phobia and stuff like that. And you don't need the referral. Okay, number two, you want referrals because they'll help you to build your practice. In the event that it has carried a medical or psychological diagnosis, your client has such a thing, you want to say to them, don't worry, it's easy, we do this all the time, this is what we're going to do next. I need the name of your doctor and the contact information. I'm going to talk to them, make sure that it's okay that we do this work, and then with that referral, we're going to just be able to move along, get you the relief you want. And now, you see, there's a lot of doctors and psychologists out there that are frustrated. They've used every tool they know. They've given the people every pill they've got that should help, and it doesn't help. And these people are so frustrating. They're a big headache in that doctor's or that psychologist's practice. And when you approach them and say that your patient has come to see me for hypnotherapy for this issue, I always request a doctor's referral when we do this to make sure it wouldn't get in the way of what you're doing. And then you get success, you want to report that back to the doctor, and you become the place where he can send his most frustrating clients. And as you continue, and you don't have to be successful 100% of the time. If you're only successful 50% of the time with the clients that person's not successful with it all, then you become an excellent referral that when he or she gets frustrated, you can send them out to you. So it's a wonderful thing to do. You want referrals because they help you build your practice. Number three, hypnotists don't make diagnoses. Unless you're a licensed doctor or psychologist or otherwise licensed to make diagnoses, we don't. We simply work using the principle that there is either a belief, like a cognition, or an emotion that the client is experiencing that's driving the problem. If you have not yet read it, please get your hands on a copy of my book, The Secret Language of Feelings. It will explain to you the mechanism of this compulsions, obsessions, bad habits, and addictions from this emotional cognitive point of view. What's happening is our clients get a feeling inside them they don't like, and they don't know how to deal with it, and rather than satisfying the feeling or neutralizing a negative emotion, they go into a life of distraction. Eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, or pulling their hair too much, or drinking too much, or working too much, or all these too much type things. They do that because it helps them to feel better. Okay, so we want to remember that there is, number four, either a cognitive or emotional problem that's behind the issue that they come in to see you about. Get The Secret Language of Feelings. Read it. You'll be glad you did. It's available on thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. It's available on the BanyanHypnosisMall.com. And it's available on www.hypnosiscenter.com. Okay, so because there's a cognitive or emotional aspect to the problem, then 5-PATH is the indicated treatment. Because we're going to go in and we're going to fix it at the causal level. Now, what do? And here's a thumbnail sketch of what we do with 5-PATH. The client comes in, phase one. We hypnotize them, we covertly test them to make sure that the proper level of hypnosis, and then we do a convincer. A convincer is a test that we know they're going to pass because it is for a lighter level of hypnosis than which we tested for covertly. It means a hidden test. So the covert test is hidden, the convincer is not hidden. That way we give them a test that we know they're going to pass, and when they pass it, they know that they've passed a test. When they pass the test, they realize they're hypnotized. It makes them more suggestible and takes them even deeper into hypnosis and more readily able to accept your suggestions and become compliant to the instructions you give them. Phase two. This is where we do the age regression to cause. While the client's in hypnosis, we say, there's a thought or feeling inside you that has everything to do with why you came here today. And as I count from 1 to 5, it comes up as strong, as powerful as ever been. And we bring that feeling up, or that a symptom perhaps. And what we bring it up strong and powerful, we say, and now we're going to follow it back to an earlier time you felt that way. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We will go back to an earlier time we felt that way. We will then find out if that is the ISC or just some subsequent event. If it is the ISC, that means it is the initial sensitizing event, which means that's where it began. If it is a subsequent event, we call that subsequent sensitizing event, or SSE. And we follow those events back until we have verified that we've found the initial sensitizing event. Once that's done, we go to just before that event and give them the information or experience they need so they can go through the initial sensitizing event without being negatively affected by it. So we change it at the causal level. Then we reinforce that change by moving them then forward from that distant ISC through each of the subsequent SSEs, reinforcing the change. And we can even move into the future, probable future, by doing some age progression where they pre-vivify being in different circumstances free of the problem. This mainly has to do with getting rid of anxiety and fear. That's the thing that tends to drive OCD problems. Fear, anxiety. Anxiety is just the physical manifestation of the emotion fear. And then what's left? We have phase three. Phase three is where we get rid of anger. Anger is another uncomfortable feeling, and that can be coped with through distraction, and the distraction can be the bad habit or OCD symptoms. What we do is we're going to do a forgiveness process, and that forgiveness process, we forgive the people that caused them to feel angry. Then, in the next phase, forgiveness of self, we're going to neutralize any feelings of guilt or anger directed at the self. Once again, those are uncomfortable feelings. If they're allowed to exist in a chronic fashion, the person will tend to get involved in these bad habits or manifest these OCD symptoms. And what they do, that all those OCD symptoms and those bad habits are ways to cope with the emotion that's inside that they don't like. In some cases, after we've done that, the problem can still exist. That occurs when there's a thing called secondary gain. Secondary gain occurs when there's something in the current environment that is either reinforcing the symptom or behavior or is demanding it outright. So the phase five is a special kind of parts therapy based on standard mediation theories and principles. And so we call it parts mediation therapy, in that we will divide the individual into two parts. One is the part that wants to change, and one is the part that wants to continue in the old behavior. And we find out the needs, wants, and desires of both parts. And we'll find out they're both wanting and needing and desiring the same things. It's how they're bringing about those things that are in dispute. And through the mediation process, we can come up with a win-win situation to where the still wanting to continue in the old way realizes that they don't really want to continue in the old way. They're just using the old way, the old behaviors, to get what they need, want, and desire. We offer them another way to do that, and then we're able to reintegrate the parts and use the agreement that was created in the mediation process as our direct suggestion for that aspect of the five phase process. Okay. So that was number five. Remember that Five Path has a system to deal with secondary gain issues. Now, let me take those points and apply them to the question. I'm going to read the question one more time. The question was, I'm ready to do a third session for hair pulling with a client who had a lot of difficulty with AR session, that's age regression. She seemed to have a lot of difficulty seeing and feeling during the AR. I tried parts therapy on her, and she said that both parts had come to an agreement on what to do rather than pulling the hair. And now the habit has been reduced quite a bit, but she is still pulling her hair. Any questions as what to do next? Okay, now I'm going to read each sentence and talk about it with regard to the points we have now about doing five-path advanced hypnotherapy with these kind of issues. All right, in the first sentence, I'm ready to do a third session for hair pulling with the client who had a lot of difficulty in the AR session. She seemed to have a lot of difficulty seeing and feeling anything during the AR. Okay, so you're about to do the third session, which means you've done two sessions. So in those two sessions, you have done, at least you've completed the phase one, which is a preparation, testing, and convincing. You should not go to phase two unless you've done that. Let me tell you why. The preparation, testing, and convincing phase. So important that we complete one phase, especially phase one, before we go to phase two. Phase one, we test. We prepare the client, like by doing a pre-talk and all that, to remove fears, misconceptions about hypnosis. Then what do? We test them for somnambulism. You see, you must have somnambulism in order to get a good age regression, in order for the person to really see and feel when they do the age regression. That seeing, that re-seeing and re-feeling the event is what we mean by revivification, to relive. So my first point here is I'm wondering, did you really get somnambulism? Because if you don't get somnambulism, you should not have gone on to the second phase. All right, so what needs to be done is you need to verify that you have somnambulism. And there's two covert tests. One is the losing the numbers portion of the Ellman-Banyan rapid induction. For you guys that don't know about that, go to hypnosiscenter.com, click on my free articles section, and in that list of articles, you'll see one on how to do the Ellman-Banyan induction. The other one is the eye fractionation deepening covert test. I don't have time to explain that right now. I go over it in the classroom. It's also available on the 5-Path DVD distance learning course. Okay, so you must get somnambulism before you move on to age regression. Otherwise, they're going to have difficulty seeing and feeling. Okay, so as you said in your question, you ask, she seemed to have a lot of difficulty seeing and feeling. So there's a couple of reasons why this could happen. First one I've already talked about. Might not have been deep enough in hypnosis. The second is the protective part of the mind could be interfering and trying to distance her from reliving the events that you're experiencing. If the events were very embarrassing or very painful, this is a possibility. If in phase one you're certain you got somnambulism, and now you're in phase two and the person isn't seeing or feeling anything or isn't doing it very well, you need to have the talk. The talk consists of leave your client in hypnosis, tell her to look at you, to open your eyes and look. And when she's looking at you, say, I believe I can help you with this, but you need to follow my instructions. When I ask you to do something, you need to be able to do it. If I ask for a first impression about something, you need to give me a first impression. If I ask you to describe it, you need to describe it. I need you to make up your mind now and let me know whether you're willing to follow the instructions. So far, I can't guarantee it'll be that way for you, but so far, every time I've had the talk with a client, they've decided to go on and to follow my instructions, and it breaks through this resistance of the protective part of the mind. There's some things we can do to make the talk even more powerful. We can say, open your eyes, look at me. I believe that I can help you with this, but you need to follow my instructions. Before you make that decision, I want you to think about everything you've tried to fix this problem. And now I want you to think about what you're going to do if I'm not successful. How successful I am depends on you, on whether or not you're willing to follow my instructions. Decide. And once you've got the deciding factor that they're willing to follow instructions, say, close your eyes, go deeper, and then proceed with the age regression experience. So, as it's stated here, she seemed to have a lot of difficulty seeing and feeling anything during the age regression. So we want to make sure she is willing and able. Able requires that they are in somnambulism. Willing means that they are able to willing and able to follow instructions. Then next it says, I tried parts therapy on him. And she said both parts had come to an agreement on what to do rather than pulling the hair. Now here it sounds like this hypnotherapist skipping two phases of five path. First of all, the age regression doesn't appear to be done completely or properly. And of course, I don't have all the information here. I'm just going by this paraphrased question. You see, it's very important that phase one be done completely and properly. Then phase two be done completely and properly. We make sure we have somnambulism, make sure we have a compliant client who's going to follow instructions. I don't see anything in here about finding the ISE and dealing with it. We've got to make sure that the ISE has been uncovered and neutralized. Next is forgiveness of others. Somebody made this person afraid. You see, OCD symptoms like a trichotillomania, that is a fear. It's a fear inside of them. It's an anxiety-type disorder. And we've got to go in, find out what that anxiety is. Then we need to neutralize that anxiety. And then we find out who caused the anxiety in her past and anyone who might be causing the anxiety now. And then what we need to do is we need to be able to forgive them. We do that by going into a round room and we have our client confront the offender, saying, you hurt me when, you made me think, you made me feel, putting an ending on each one of those sentences. Because of you, I have this problem. Really want to get it out. And then we'll use a technique called the 10 keys to forgiveness so that we can transform the offender into someone that becomes forgivable. Then we describe the forgiveness that's required and the result of the forgiveness to the client, who's then encouraged to forgive the offender for all of it. This reduces or eliminates the cause of the problem, the fear and the anger inside that the client has. We also, when we get past that, there's phase four, forgiveness of self. Once we go through the age regression, the forgiveness of others, the only thing left is whatever they contributed to the problem. And they may feel guilty about it or feel angry at themselves about the problem. that needs to be forgiven. And it's best if we can get a generalized forgiveness of everything they've ever done. And this reduces guilt also. And then after each one of these phases, the age regression phase, the forgiveness of others phase, and the forgiveness of self, these are all insight therapies. Insight therapies are very powerful if you really understand what's going on. When a client has an insight, it forces the subconscious mind into a state of reorganization. It must accept that new insight as a belief. There's no doubting it. Once they have the insight, it's an aha, it's an epiphany. The insight forces the subconscious mind into a state of reorganization. And it becomes hyper-suggestible for suggestions that are consistent with that insight. So when we have the insights that are gained in the age regression or forgiveness processes, we always want to do a good segue. And the segue, what we do is we've just done the age regression or the forgiveness process, and what we do is we remind them of the insights that they just had. We will say, yes, you've changed because now you know this and now you feel that and you're much more calm. And now because of this change has happened inside of you and you understand such and such, you're going to be able to accept these suggestions in a powerful way. Give a suggestion or two or three, whatever's appropriate for the issue that they came in for, and then list the benefits that they're going to get for having made those changes and I accepted those insights and those suggestions. So in this case, we've got the lady with the hair pulling. Maybe we would uncover that as a little girl, she was told there was something wrong with her and she's unlovable by her wicked stepfather. We go back and find out where that started. We then demonstrate to the little girl that she's lovable. Perhaps she's lovable because mom loves her and grandma loves her and these kinds of things. We demonstrate that. Then we take her to the situation where we first got the information from her stepfather that she was unlovable. She now rejects that and gets through the situation knowing that she's lovable. Maybe the fact that her father didn't love her made her feel afraid, and we can then make her feel safe and secure in the situation. See, that reduces the anxiety and the fear, and we're able to take her through the subsequent events that in her past reinforced that fear, but now we can collapse that fear by reminding her in each one of those instances that she is lovable, that she is safe and secure. For example, a lot of times we'll do age regression and we'll find out a very, very young child might even think they're going to die. Well, this is a very good situation from the hypnotherapist's point of view because we can demonstrate that they lived through it by the fact that grown-up is there with the hypnotherapist. And we can have the grown-up say to the child, look, we made it. There's nothing to be afraid of. Nothing really bad ever happens. And we can reduce that fear. Then in the phase three, we can have the grown-up forgive the wicked stepfather so that they can neutralize the anger. In phase four, the forgiveness of self, the client can forgive herself for hanging on to that erroneous belief for so long and pulling out her hair because of it and any other things that she might have done. And now what have we done? We've neutralized the fear. We've neutralized the anger. We've neutralized the guilt. And each session we will say, now that we've made this change, you'll find you feel much more safe, much more comfortable, much more in control, and you're able to accept these powerful suggestions for change. You might give a suggestion like, from now on, if ever your hand moves towards any hair on your body, the hair on your head, your eyebrows, your eyelashes, you'll instantly become aware of it. You'll straighten out your arm and remember that you are safe and secure. And every time that happens, you're going to think about the lovely head of hair you're going to have very soon. And you feel such a sense of accomplishment that every time you do this, that it weakens the old habit of moving your hands towards your hair until it fades away to nothing, nothing, nothing. And you're going to get many benefits out of this. You're going to have longer, thicker hair. Your eyelashes are going to grow back. You're going to feel so much better around other people, more confident, more beautiful. You see, there's an example of a very good segue that says you've made these insights. now you can accept these suggestions, and you give the suggestion like for the arm straightening, and then the benefits of having more hair, having more confidence, being more beautiful, and all that kind of thing. So as I read this question, I'm thinking, okay, boy, you're going to have a lot more success if you actually find the ISE, if you actually do the forgiveness work of the offender, actually do the forgiveness work on self. And then you're going to have a lot more success. You probably won't even need to go to the parts mediation therapy process. And according to your email here, I see that you say that I tried parts therapy on him or her, and she said that both parts had come to an agreement on what to do rather than pulling the hair. You see, you prematurely went to parts therapy. From what a little bit of information I have here, what you save parts therapy for last. We don't want to use parts mediation therapy, which is designed to work on secondary gain, until after we've neutralized the cause of the problem, which could be called the primary gain. You're going to have limited success, if any, dealing with secondary gain if the primary gain is still driving the problem, the old fears, anxieties, and so on. So what should you do next? If I was this hypnotherapist, I would get her in my chair, I'd get somnambulism, I'd verify that I had somnambulism, and then I would regress her to the most recent event, like last week, where she, what, did some hair pulling. I would find out what she's thinking, what she's feeling. I'm mainly interested in what she's feeling. It's probably anxiety, anger, frustration, something like that. Bring up the feeling, follow it back, and find that ISE. Oh, as I'm talking about that, there's not always one ISE. Sometimes there's two. You might have done a really good job in the age regression at neutralizing an ISE, like for fear, but there's another ISE for another emotion, like, for example, sadness over a loss of something, like a puppy dog or a parent or something like that, and then that needs to be neutralized. How do you know which one it is? Regress her to a recent situation, bring up the feeling, and if the feeling is different from what you dealt with before in the age regression, that indicates a second ISE, which generated the second feeling. If it's the same feeling, then that means you haven't done sufficient work on the emotion you worked on before when you did the age regression. All right. There's another one. One of the great things about these podcasts, I can give you a lot of information really fast, and then you can listen to it over and over again. I'm sure that if you listen to this podcast in particular three times, you're going to get more out of it each time. Also, you know, if you're out there doing this kind of work, I recommend that, you know, after maybe it's been a month, listen to these podcasts again. Also, if you're thinking about, gosh, I'm not a five-pather yet, I really want to do it, I want to tell you what, I would love to have you in class, go through one of our NGH hypnotherapy certification programs with 5-path and 7-path. It's just 10 days long. Or if you're already a hypnotherapist, go through one of our Week of Power programs. We got one coming up in the UK in April of 2007. I anticipate that we're probably going to be doing one. We usually do at the NGH convention in August. If you're a member of like an NGH chapter somewhere and you've got enough people interested in becoming five-pathers, give us a call and maybe we can come out to where you are, or have one of our other teachers come out to where you are and do a Week of Power. I really think you'll be glad you did. Okay, if you need to contact me, email me at calbanion@hypnosiscenter.com or call our office at 714-258-8380. Again, that's 714-258-8380. Or if you're out of the area, there's a toll-free number, 800-965-3390. Again, 800-965-3390. Okay. I hope to see you in class. I hope to get some email from you. Hope you join those groups. It's all going to add to the profession. And to you guys that are already five pathers that are listening to this stuff, I'm proud of you. Keep working on these techniques. You master these techniques and you're going to be hypno one percenters. The best of the best of all the hypnotherapists in the world. I'm proud of each and every one of you. Again, this is Cal Banion signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.